Full service radio.
Welcome to Beer Me on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Jane. I live, work, and I love beer here in D.C. During my time in culinary school, I gained an appreciation for good beer and continued my studies in beer at grad school at NYU. Since then, I have been a beer director, beer bar general manager, and I get to continue to explore the beer world with all of you wonderful listeners. Every week, I will have a different guest from different parts of the beer world, from brewers, importers, bartenders, educators, to help us explore this fascinating and dynamic world. Whether you're new to beer or a seasoned professional, we will have something for you. So this morning we have a special treat. Julie Verratti is in studio. She founded Denizens Brewing Company 4 years ago with her wife Emily Bruno and brother-in-law Jeff Ramirez. This small brewery is growing pretty rapidly over the past couple of years, and I believe opening up another location in 2020 in Hyattsville.
Oh, it's actually, hopefully, if it's 2020, we'll be bankrupt.
Okay.
We're aiming to get our doors open. The most ideal, assuming everything goes perfect, which it's not going to.
No, because it's an opening.
Right. That would be like December, this coming December, but it's probably going to be more like January, February is my guess. Hopefully.
Now, so Denizens, and for those of you who don't know, it's in Silver Spring. It's super easy to get to and definitely worth the trip if you don't live nearby. You have a massive space. You're dog friendly. You're kid friendly. All the things a beer garden should be.
We'd like to think so. Yeah. I'm sure there's things we can improve, but we try to make it a comfortable environment for everybody.
And something that I really appreciate about Denizens is that you usually have a really nice range of beers that you're producing.
Yep.
Is there anything kind of coming out now or soon that you're really excited about? Any particular style?
It's not going to sound very different for most people because it's an IPA that we just released. But we don't actually make a huge amount of IPAs.
You don't. So that is interesting for you.
So we just released a new IPA that we're going to be making, I think, continuously. It's not going to be available all the time, but pretty often. It's called Animal IPA. And it's really delicious. And we called it Animal as sort of a hat tip to Jim Henson because our new location is going to be in Prince George's County, which is where he lived. And so we wanted to, give a hat tip to him. And
nice.
We try to think about local, local things that sort of inspire us in beers that we're making and beers that we're naming. And that this new one was just released, I think, like 2 weeks ago. So I'm pretty excited about that one.
Very cool. And the space that's going to be opening, is it going to be similar to your location in Silver Spring? Or are there going to be some differences?
There's definitely going to be some differences. So those of you who are familiar and those of you who are not, Denizens is right now where we're located is a 7,500 square foot building for an interior. And then there's like a 4,000 square foot beer garden outside. And so the production space within that building really only takes up about maybe 1,500 square feet. It's not a huge amount of capacity that we have. We have five conical fermenters. We have two open fermenters, just a couple of bright tanks. We only have a 15-barrel brew house, and there's not enough space to add more tanks. So one of the issues we've faced, and I think you had Ben Hunter on here talking about capacity issues. We don't have the ability to make as much beer as we would like to. Where there's a lot of unmet demand that we're not able to keep up with. So we've been looking at ways that we can increase our capacity. And so this new location, the building is about 12,000 square feet, and about 9,000 of that square feet is going to be dedicated to production.
Wow.
And so the tap room, we're going to have a full restaurant, just like we have in the one in Silver Spring. Silver Spring, we have a full restaurant. Most of the building is dedicated to the tap room and restaurant. you know, when we're at max capacity, we can have like 600 people there at a time. So it's a pretty large space. The one in Prince George's County is going to be much smaller, probably just a couple hundred people that can be there at once. And so, you know, it's really going to be focused on making more beer and doing it more efficiently. It's going to cost, you know, our cost of goods sold are going to go down, which I'm personally very excited about.
For sure.
And we'll have a lot more product to be able to sell. You know, right now we're in a position where, you know, we sort of like allocation issues. You know, we want to keep our customers happy from a wholesale perspective. But a lot of times we can be a little frustrating to deal with, you know, as a vendor, because we don't always consistently have product available. And we try as much as we can to keep it available, but it's a difficult dance that we play all the time. And that gets old after a while. And so we're trying to fix that issue with expanding and being able to make more beer.
Nice. Well, for those of you just tuning in, I'm sitting down with Julie Verratti. She is the co-founder of Denison's Brewing Company in Silver Spring, Maryland. So something exciting that I saw was that you were named the running mate for Alacross, the gubernatorial candidate for Maryland.
Yeah, I ran for lieutenant governor as a Democrat. We lost the primary on June 26th, but it was a really fun and exciting experience. And, you know, I think bringing the perspective of being a small business owner and, you know, someone who owns a manufacturing company and, you know, a hospitality company and a wholesale company, you know, all these different perspectives was, I think, a really, really important message to bring to the Democratic primary, to be able to talk about small business issues and what it's like to be an owner-operator and what are different policies that can be put in place to help small business grow, and then also making sure that we're protecting workers at the same time. There needs to be, I think, both sides of that conversation at the table. And it was a really, really fun experience traveling the state of Maryland. And, you know, I got to spend a lot of time, you know, visiting breweries around the state, places that I hadn't had a chance to visit before, and, you know, talk to customers about the campaign, but also just be able to try some really awesome beer around Maryland.
What was a highlight? What was one of your favorites?
Well, I was able to actually visit RAR quite a few times, which is great. I really like those guys a lot, and their beer is fantastic. I was able to go to Burley Oak, which was really cool.
Nice.
I got up at like, you know, 5:30 in the morning one day and drove down to one of their beer releases down in Berlin, Maryland. Definitely worth the trip. Their beer is fantastic. It's just like a really cool and bucolic atmosphere. I love that part of Maryland. Yeah, so those are two examples.
And are you from Maryland?
I am. I was actually born and raised in Silver Spring.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
My mother still lives in the house I grew up in, which is in the Colesville area. Mm-hmm. And then my dad and my stepmom live in Bethesda. And my sister lives in Silver Spring. And then obviously Emily and I live in Silver Spring now.
Nice. Yeah. So politics was never something that you sought out actively, correct?
I'd never sought out being a candidate.
Exactly.
Always been very politically active, politically engaged, and my first career out of college was actually in politics.
Okay.
So it's not something I was unfamiliar with. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, I'd never been the actual candidate before. But it was a neat experience. I mean, it's, you know, when you're running for office, you get to meet and talk to a lot of different people. And one of the things that I don't know if it surprised me, but I appreciated is how engaged a lot of people are in the electoral process, even including the primary.
Yes.
And so I really appreciated that and having really good conversations with folks and meeting a lot of really interesting people along the way.
So when you were first approached and you were asked, you know, what did that kind of feel like considering to be a candidate that had to be, and plus you've got so much going on with your business and your brewery.
No, I mean, I almost said no immediately.
Okay.
You know, I was literally like in the car driving to Denison's in the morning. It's like 9 a.m. And I had a relationship with Alec because I had met him on the campaign trail a few months prior to that. Maybe like 6 months prior to that. And I was a huge fan of him and I was supporting him in the primary already. You know, I held a meet and greet for him and, you know, emailed my friends about him and all that. And he and I had been having a lot of conversations just about business policy and, you know, politics and all of those things. And I did not know that he was considering, I was on his short list of someone to ask. So when he called me and asked, he said, you know, What would you say if I hypothetically maybe asked you to be my running mate, Lieutenant Governor? Mm-hmm. And I put the phone on mute and was like, what the hell? Is this actually happening? And I took it off mute and I was like, well, I don't know if I can do that. You know, I'm really, you know, we're working on this expansion. I've got a lot of other stuff going on with the business. Yeah. I have to obviously talk to Emily about it, but then obviously talk to Jeff as well as our, you know, my third business partner, because it's a huge life decision. It affects your family life. It affects your work life. At the end of the day, you know, I had conversations with them and my other family members and friends and decided to go for it. I mean, why not? Yeah. It's not every day you get asked to run for lieutenant governor, right?
No.
And I'm glad I did it. I really am glad I did it. Mm-hmm. I have no idea if I'd ever run again. I might. I have no idea. I don't know what the future holds, but it was a cool experience and I'm glad I did it. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back on Beer Me, Full Service Radio. Welcome back to Beer Me, recording live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. on Full Service Radio. Today I'm sitting down with Julie Varadi. She is the co-owner and founder of Denizens Brewing Company in Silver Spring, Maryland. We were just talking about her lieutenant governor race that just recently ended, but all in all, a really good experience for you. Mm-hmm. So as far as getting back to the brewery itself and kind of your involvement in a lot of different things, you're very involved in the Brewers Association. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit to that?
Sure. So, you know, my role with the company is I'm the director of business development. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that kind of, you know, it's a small business, so I also do a lot of other things. But,
yeah.
You know, when we first started, I was completely in charge of all of the wholesale, mm-hmm. and I still oversee wholesale. I'm just not as much in the day-to-day sales. Obviously, Ben Hunter does a lot of that, as well as one of our newest employees, Jackson Wilkie, who just joined us about 6 months ago.
Nice.
They're both doing a really great job representing us out in the field. So I work with them. I do deliveries every once in a while if we have a big delivery day, which I actually kind of enjoy. That sort of breaks up the week a little bit.
Yeah.
but I also, you know, being in business development, I'm constantly looking for ways that we can partner with local organizations, local associations, local businesses, you know, whether it's, you know, trying to bring people into the tap room to do events or, you know, public partnerships that we can do around town. And I also am very involved with you know, association membership. So the Brewers Association of Maryland, I am on the board of directors for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also on the board of directors for the Brewers Association, which is the national trade organization for small and independent businesses, breweries. I joined the BA board in just this past February. I started my term. That's been a really, really neat experience. There's some real heavy hitters on the board, and being able to be in the room and have conversations with, you know, founders of Left Hand, of Allagash, of Boston Beer Company, and, you know, it's been an incredible experience. And Brooklyn Beer and New Belgium, and it's just, I've really, really enjoyed it. And it's cool to see that perspective and sort of like trying to create policy or, you know, what are the priorities that the Brewers Association has and being able to be at the table. And, you know, I really take it as a very serious responsibility. You know, I'm part of, I guess the term that people use is the long tail, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
Of breweries in the sense that we opened our doors 4 years ago, you know, so there's a lot of breweries that have opened within the last 5 to 6 years. And then you've got these other people, the folks that are making the most volume are the ones that are, you know, 20 plus years old.
Yeah.
And then there's a ton of breweries that are, you know, below 1,000 barrels a year that have all opened within the last, you know, 5 to 6 years. And the needs and desires of those two groups are very different. And so I really see it as a very heavy responsibility that I am speaking for sort of the long tail breweries when I'm sitting at the table having those conversations.
So without, you know, divulging any top secret Brewers Association board information, what is a topic that you all have worked on over the past couple months?
We've had a lot of conversations about the independent seal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that our members had been asking for a very long time. You know, how do we differentiate ourselves in the marketplace against macro beer? And so, you know, spent a lot of time. And I was not part of the team that came up with the design. You know, I came on after the seal had really been released. But really just talking about, like, how do we encourage more of our members to use it or non-members to use it? You don't have to be a member as long as you qualify as a small and independent brewery. And so, you know, that's one topic of discussion.
Yeah. And for sure. And for those that are not too familiar, this is a seal from the Brewers Association that you find on cases of beer, bottles of beer, different breweries, you know, beer bar establishments and stuff like that. They can display this seal to kind of be an indicator of, you know, this is where independent and craft beer is sold.
Right.
So it's a, I thought it was a good move on the Brewers Association part,
so.
You know, to kind of see who is part of that and who isn't.
Yeah.
because, you know, you speak volumes with, you know, your money and,
yeah.
and how
no,
you
that's
spend
very,
it.
It's very true. I mean, I am hopeful that all the small and independent breweries will use it. I know there's been a lot of talk, you know, especially on social media, where people are saying, oh, this is stupid. Why would you do this? And, you know, at the end of the day, on balance, like, I don't see how it harms a small business to use it, right? Like, no one goes into a package store and is looking at a can and sees the seal and is like, oh, I'm definitely not buying that, right? But they might look at it and see the seal and say, huh, that's curious. Maybe I will buy that, as opposed to some sort of macro beer.
It's also it's an optional thing.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, if you are a member and you don't want to use it for aesthetics or whatever, nobody's forcing you to do it.
Nobody's forcing you to do it. I do understand the concern, though. It's like, well, I don't want to use it, but if I don't use it, now I look like I'm not independent. So there is sort of that flip side. And at this point, there's over 3,000 breweries across the country that have incorporated the seal in their packaging or, you know, if they're an on-premise brewery only, you know, they have it on their menus, they have decals on their doors, on their coasters. And so it's, there is a little bit of that pressure to use it, even if you don't want to at this point. I don't know, time will tell to see how impactful it is, but I think it's great. You know, we use it on all of our packaging. And I think it was the right move to make.
Now, there were two subjects that the Brewers Association talked about during the Craft Brewers Conference this year. They and, you know, I feel like kind of every year they promote, you know, a new idea or something. And this year I felt like the two big focuses were diversity as well as brewery safety. And were these things that you had kind of talked about in the board meetings and focuses that you wanted to have?
No, absolutely. And I'm, you know, as part of the being on the board of directors, I have the privilege of being the chair of the diversity committee.
Oh, okay.
Within the BA infrastructure, which has been really, really neat experience. You know, we have monthly meetings and, you know, get to talk about, like, how do we best affect change on the diversity front? You know, and we sort of see it in, as twofold in terms of goals. One is looking at diversity within our industry, you know, everything from the raw material suppliers to the brewers to the wholesalers to the retailers, you know, how are we, you know, really increasing diversity within our industry? And that goes from everywhere from race to gender to ethnicity to, you know, socioeconomic, you know, LGBT status, the whole gamut. And then, so that's one goal. The second goal is how do we then flip that to the external of our industry and our customers and the folks that are buying our products? Because, you know, demographically, it's not going to be just white men living in this country, you know, for the next few decades. So I see it not only as a moral imperative to increase diversity in terms of our customer base and within our industry, but I also see it as an economic imperative. You know, if you want to have a sustainable business model, you need to be constantly growing the pie. You know, if we've just put a circle around a certain demographic percentage of potential customers, we're all fighting over those same customers and nobody wins, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe just a few people win. But if you're constantly growing that pie, there's a lot less infighting that needs to happen and a lot less hustle that needs to happen, you know, between, you know, different breweries. So I think it's important if we're going to have a sustainable craft beer industry in this country and across the world, then we need to grow that pie.
So what are some initiatives or steps or recommendations that you all have talked about, if you're, again, able
to share? I mean, the first thing is, you know, you kind of have to have a baseline. So we've been looking at, and we're in the process of doing this and analyzing it, so I can't really give you, like, numbers or whatever, but looking at, you know, what does the, where are we at right now in terms of diversity within the industry, and then where are we at in terms of diversity in term for our customers?
Okay.
So looking at that, that's number one. We've been in the process of doing that and purchased some data that we could take a look at. So that's number one. Number two, we hired a diversity ambassador, Dr. J. Nicole Beckham. She's awesome. Also goes by Dr. J. You know, she's a certified Cicerone, total badass. She's a professor down in Virginia. And she, her whole job is to travel the country and talk to state guilds about diversity and how do you approach it as a small business, as a brewery. And she's incredibly impressive. I don't know if you sat in on her talk at CBC this past year.
Yeah, a little bit. And I got to meet her at another seminar. Mm-hmm. So I was really excited to see that ambassador position.
You know, she's incredibly impressive. And I've it's been an honor working with her and getting to know her. And quite frankly, all the people on the committee. I mean, there are a lot of very engaged folks on the committee. And you can join a Brewers Association committee even if you are not a member of the board. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, folks that are listening to this that are in the beer industry that are interested in joining a committee, I mean, you do have to be, your company has to be a member of the BA. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of stuff for people to engage on. So it's been pretty neat working with people.
No, that's excellent to hear that that's, you know, kind of moving forward. And for those of you just tuning in, I'm sitting down with Julie Verratti. She's the co-founder of Denizens Brewing Company in Silver Spring, Maryland, soon to also be Hyattsville, Maryland.
Riverdale Park, actually.
Riverdale Park, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. There were some news articles that came out saying Hyattsville when we first announced it, so everybody thinks it's Hyattsville
now.
That's fair.
Riverdale.
Yeah. I did want to say one other thing, though, that we're working on is... we were able to request financial resources from the board to put towards supporting diverse beer events. And so this year, you know, we're looking at helping to sponsor a few events across the country. We might just start off with one on just to sort of test the model to see if we can, you know, really help and support. So that's another initiative that we're working on as well.
Nice. Yeah. I'm really excited to hear about that. Yeah. I did want to talk a little bit about how Denizens kind of embraces the community. And this is something, you know, just after talking with you, I feel like Denizens and you as a brewery owner know that a brewery affects its community. Mm-hmm. And I think you understand that it, you know, it's almost a responsibility to be involved and to be an active part of the community. So is there, you know, anything that you all have done in the past or anything coming up that you're excited about?
Sure. I mean, we do a lot of things to involve ourselves with the community and open ourselves up to the community. You know, we support nonprofits up and down the gamut. Mm-hmm. We, you know, whether it's either just giving them a donation in cash or if it's, you know, donating beer to an event that they're doing or donating like silent auction items and stuff to help them raise money, to also, you know, allowing groups and organizations, whether you're a political candidate, a political group, or a nonprofit doing advocacy work or whatever it is, you can use our taproom space for free. Like, we're not going to charge you for it, you know? And so that's, you know, we don't just like, if they order beer and food, they have to pay for that. But like, we're not charging them any type of event fee or any of that stuff. So we try to make ourselves very accessible for people, to use. I also think, you know, as a brewery, there is a lot of, there's sort of this idea that if you're a business, you should stay apolitical on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when that makes sense. I get it. You don't want to alienate people all the time by like constantly taking political stands, but you know, we are a very politically active brewery and we do take political stands on things when we care deeply about them. And it's sort of a black and white issue, you know, like, so for example, on immigration, we're very vocal about making sure that we're supporting everyone in our community and supporting immigrants and fighting for them and, you know, gender equality, you know, all of those things. Like we will take very definitive political stands very publicly and openly when it comes to issues like that, that we really care deeply about. And I think that also, I think, you know, being in the community that we are, we're in Silver Spring, which is a very very diverse and, you know, I think leans more progressive. I think there are people in the community that appreciate that we take political stands. We have had some folks, you know, tell us, you know, like, screw you guys, never going to come to your place, you know, and that's fine. I think for the most part, people appreciate that we do that. So it's, I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And I noticed that you participated in the DC Bruce Fights Back campaign, which was really great. I think they definitely, they raised a couple, like $4,000.
Yeah, I think they raised a lot of money. Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty cool.
So that was amazing. We did a whole show about it.
Oh, that's great.
Which was a lot of fun.
I'll try to listen to that.
So coming up at the end of August, we have DC Beer Week.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that every year you've participated. And,
yep.
Is there anything exciting coming up for you on that?
Yeah, I think we're going to do, one of the things that we're doing right now is we're looking at changing some of the food items on our menu.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be adding, I think, bratwursts to the menu. So we're going to try to do like an outdoor beer garden, like brat and beer day as sort of an event for DC Beer Week. We're going to be participating in the Lager Festival, which is exciting. I'm glad that we're, you know, DC Beer Week is doing that. I think it's a great idea. So we'll be participating in that. You know, we make a lot of lagers at Denizens. Mm-hmm. It's one of Jeff's favorite things to do. And I think, you know, as we continue to grow, you're going to be seeing a lot more lager offerings coming from us. And so I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah, I mean, we've been a part of DC Beer Week. It's really fun to do every year. We've, you know, since we've opened, we've participated in the Solidarity Brew, which is great. And, you know, the DC Brewers Guild, I mean, we're a Maryland brewery, we're so close to the border of DC, it's hard not to also sort of feel part of the DC beer community.
Yeah.
And the Brewers Guild in DC actually created affiliate memberships. And so we're the only Maryland brewery that joined them. But so we joined the DC Brewers Guild because we wanted to support them and the work that they do.
Yeah.
And I think Port City is the only one in Virginia that is a member there, as another affiliate member. But I thought that was pretty cool that they did that, and recognizing that, you know, the DC area is really the DMV. I mean, it's, you know, if you live in Silver Spring, I guarantee you're going into DC probably at least once or twice or three times a week, you know, even if you don't work down there. And I think vice versa. I think people in D.C. do visit Maryland, do visit Virginia, and it's important that we are advocating for the entire community.
Mm-hmm.
And not just sort of the 10 square miles that D.C. proper actually is.
I feel like, what is it? It's like inside the Beltway technically,
right?
Counts or something like that.
Right.
So one more thing before I let you go. So on your website, mm-hmm. When you click on the staff bios, mm-hmm. and you know, I recently explored that a little bit because I know Ben Hunter,
right.
Your recent hire, Kevin Ramsey, was one of my managers.
He's awesome.
At Bertrand Bradley Church Key.
Very lucky to have Kevin Ramsey and Ben Hunter.
They're both such good eggs.
Mm-hmm.
But I was clicking around on the bios and I noticed that instead of doing a bio where you list whatever,
mm-hmm.
you do this really adorable thing where you include their bio, but it's like the person is being described as if they were a beer.
Right.
And it kind of goes through. And I think, I mean, Ben's is so spot on.
Well, Ben wrote his. It was, so I'm not surprised by
it's
that.
It's like he's a spritzy, bubbly, southern charm, blah, blah, blah. It's very.
I think that was his favorite onboarding activity that he did. I get to write my bio. Okay.
Where I feel every time I've had to write a bio, it's like this angst-filled, you know, thing. But so it's really adorable. And so everybody kind of picks their own style of beer and then uses that to describe who they are and where they come from and things like that. So I'm going to ask you, what style of beer are you and why?
Oh my God. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but my bio is not a description of a beer.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, no, I have like a list of questions and answers that I have on there. You know, I think that I'm going to sort of back my way into this.
Okay.
I think I'm a very approachable person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I also get along with a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds, so I'm easy on the palate, so to speak, and kind of universally, you know, I've my entire life I spent a lot of time transferring different schools and going to new situations all the time, so I've sort of, since I was a very little kid, have learned the life skill to like walk into a situation where I don't know anybody and be able to make friends quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'd probably have to describe myself as like a wit beer or like a Saison.
Okay.
If I'm thinking about craft beer, I would also say probably some sort of light lager, whether it's an American Pilsner or, you know, Czech Pilsner or German Pilsner or something.
See, based on that description in my mind, I was like, German Pilsner, all the way.
Yeah. It could be any one of those things, I guess. I don't know. It's funny because I'm not a huge fan of wit beers or Saisons. Those aren't my favorite types of beer, but I do think that they're pretty universally loved by people.
Yes.
Regardless of, you know, what your palate is like and what you usually drink. So I would probably fall within one of those categories.
Nice.
Yeah.
And for our listeners, just something fun and frivolous, what is your go-to beer as of these past couple months?
I really, really, really love Manor Hills Grisette.
Yes.
It's one of my absolute all-time favorite beers. It's so light and refreshing and so drinkable and, you know, low alcohol, so it's not going to get you drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. You know, if I'm drinking Denizen's beer, I really enjoy our Southside Rye IPA. I drink that probably more than any of the other beers that we make. I'm not a huge fan of very malty beer.
Okay.
So I don't drink a lot of reds. I don't drink a lot of, you know, like ESBs or ambers. And but I do I do enjoy lagers. I enjoy grisettes, specifically Manor Hills, and I enjoy our Southside.
Nice. Well, thank you again for coming on the show. Like I said, it was long overdue.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
And when your new location in Riverdale opens up, or when you're kind of zeroing in on that date, let us know. And hopefully we'll hear from you soon.
All right. Will do.
This has been Beer Me on Full Service Radio, recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Sarah Jane. Thank you all very much.